Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, we are interviewing the one and only Mary Fisher, who is CEO of Color Science. And Mary, I'm going to embarrass you here, but Mary is a very impressive individual. She has blended aesthetic appeal with scientific rigor, giving us one of the very first and best mineral sunscreens on the market. I'm so impressed with how this company at Color Science really innovates scientifically. Mary was honored as Ernst & Young's Entrepreneur of the Year Award for San Diego and Venture Capital Award of Excellence. She's also named finalist for Most Admired CEO, and that is really impressive, by the San Diego Business Journal. And you, under Mary's leadership, Color Science has really started to innovate and change. This year, they've introduced a few new products that we're going to talk about. Welcome to the podcast, Mary.
Thank you so much. I'm always delighted to be with you, but I'm honored to be part of this podcast with you. You do such a great job of leading in education for your patients and for healthcare professionals around the world. So I'm honored to be on your show. Thank you.
Amazing. And we've had quite a few women CEOs on this podcast, and I think that that should continue to be a trend because it motivates young women out there to see women who've come through the ranks and risen and now are in really great leadership roles.
I hope so. Yeah. I know you inspire us all as well. And and now for the younger set, looking to you on the professional side and to all of us in business, there are so many roles to play that can do a lot of good in skin health.
Well, let's dive right in. I want to ask some icebreaker questions.
Oh boy.
Okay, so we're going to do rapid fire. Are you a coffee or tea person?
I'm a coffee person.
Coffee, me too. Okay, we can go out now.
Let's go.
Brunch or cocktails? Next question, brunch or cocktails? Preferred social outing?
Brunch.
I think so too.
Yes.
I was thinking of that the other day. I love a good brunch. And are you more of a yoga or like CrossFit lifting?
I'm probably neither of those. I'm more of a stretch, I follow a stretch coach because I sit for a living. So I'm so busy combating the sitting for a living that I think more general stretching for me.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I've seen those places that do professional stretching and I heard it's very intense.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I have to
usually somebody with a lovely soft voice is just a little more.
And then they give you pain.
Yes.
Funny on The Amazing Race, I was watching this episode in Thailand and they had to choose between a Thai massage and some other hard tasks. They all went for the Thai massage and they were all crying.
Yes.
it was like so much stretching.
For sure.
Well, okay, and how about book on audio or podcast? Are you a podcast listener?
I am a podcast listener and books on a Kindle reader.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. And then tell me a couple of your podcasts that are really inspiring to you. If you can think of some.
Let's see.
Like people you follow.
Yeah. So Simon Sinek, of course, I followed forever. Mm-hmm. Lately, I've been following podcasts that are a little bit more therapeutically oriented mm-hmm. and in line with the scientific innovation that we're looking to pursue in our innovation plan.
Okay, great. Yeah. Awesome. Are there apps on your phone that you open? Like what's your first app you open every day?
My Radar.
What's that?
It's a weather.
Oh, okay.
Sonar. It's literally a radar app.
Right.
So I start my day, I wake to the sunrise. I don't have any darkening shades in my house at all.
Okay.
And so the first thing I want to check before I go to sleep at night is what the sky looks like. And when I wake up, I want to know what sunrise looks like.
Oh, amazing.
And then I love to see kind of what's coming, if anything, on the radar app.
So are you an early morning person or late night owl? I'm a morning person.
Lately, I've been both. And I need to advise against that. That's not a good idea.
Burning the candle at both ends is not great.
Yes.
And then I'm really into supplements, so I ask everybody this. What are you taking in terms of supplements, nutrition, or biohacking?
I do a BioComplete, a prebiotic, probiotic product. I take, of course, the usual D-supplementation, iron supplementation, all of those multivitamin stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at, right now, fatty 15.
Oh, what's
It's a omega 3 alternative, you know, a little bit more dialed in and refined. So, looking forward to trying that.
Okay.
And then hair supplements.
Mm-hmm.
So, I use Dr. Candace Spann's Retress supplement.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Love it. I always learn something new when I ask people that. I'm like always impressed with all the variety of what people are doing.
But now I want to try your greens product.
My Daily Beauty Greens, yes. What's your favorite Color Science product that you can't live without?
Oh, I think there are three or four of them. So I can't live without the Alcom serum. I can't live without Flex. And God, it's hard to choose. Total Eye.
Total Eye.
Yeah.
Okay, those are
that
all
has to make the top
products.
Three.
Yeah. I've been loving how you guys are having booths at meetings where you have makeup artists that do kind of just do your whole face with a no makeup makeup look.
Yes.
Color size products.
And we have often a Total Eye bar.
Yes.
So you can come and take some makeup off, put on the concentrated serum, the masks, take a walk around for 15, 20 minutes, come back and have your makeup reapplied. And it just looks so bright. And
such a good idea. Like
yeah.
Nothing works better than having it demonstrated.
Yes.
So you have been in biopharma, biotech, skincare, and aesthetics for the last 30 years.
Yes.
And coming to color science probably was a big step for you, stepping away from some of those other tech firms.
It was. I was in biotech and pharmaceutical in areas like central nervous system diseases, oncology, or cancer therapy, and immunology.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a big step to move to dermatology. I hesitated because I didn't know much about skin biology at that moment in my career. But I was invited to interview at Skin Medica for the CEO role.
Mm-hmm.
And I told the investor that brought me, you know, I really can't help you. I just don't know that much about the skin. At the time, I was a soap and water girl myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so joining there was enlightening. I was sharing with my colleague earlier that we assembled some chairs of academia in dermatology as our advisors. And it really was a big return to heritage at Skin Medica to that scientific innovation in the pipeline development.
Well, I think that's one of the things that distinguishes color science from many, many other companies out there, the scientific rigor that goes into your products and,
you
know, the passion for that. So kudos to
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. It was at Skin Medica that we identified color science as the brand that we wanted to acquire.
Mm-hmm.
And usually as a privately held company, it takes big balance sheets to acquire other companies, but we persuaded the Color Science owners that we were the right home for Color Science because of those same concepts, and once we brought it inside, we realized that we had brought in a pretty high caliber skincare ingredient-based mineral product. So our physician partners told us to head in that direction, and they were absolutely right.
That's awesome. We'll talk a little bit about the mineral basis of the product. So why do you think minerals are so excellent for the skin protection?
Yes, so we know zinc oxide, of course, forever is understood as anti-inflammatory, antimicrobial, healthy for the skin, and an excellent sun protection product. We use that and titanium dioxide as the only actives in the sun care products. And we were known as the brush people, and I think that's how you came to know the brand as
well.
That's
how I first met Color Science, is the powder duster mineral brush.
Yes.
With SPF 50.
Fantastic for reapplication. In fact, Metastatics just did an article on a survey of physicians who said, yes, powder sunscreen is the best for reapplication.
It really is.
So proud to be the brush people, and you know, made sure that we always would be the best product available in that regard. But minerals are hard to work with. The you know, those are white opaque powders, and we all remember the lifeguards with the zinc noses, and so it's not an everyday easy product to use. I think what Color Science did was innovate by using iron oxides only, also important minerals, to provide a color tint. And when we came, there was only one tint, pretty much. And we
beige.
Really...
Beige.
Medium beige.
In
and
the
we
80s,
wanted.
It was all beige.
That's right, yes. And so we wanted to expand the inclusivity there, so we were able to bring on some darker shades, some deep and tan, to really broaden the line.
That's been so important for every makeup brand, I think.
Yeah.
Rihanna blew up the whole entire industry by saying that we need colors for every skin tone.
Yes.
And, like, it's so impressive that that was really able to show diversity and inclusion that now needs to permeate all aspects of aesthetics.
It does still need more work. And with minerals, it's nearly impossible to do and maintain the SPF.
Is it
so
hard?
We use the two white powders, titanium and zinc. We use iron oxides in three colors.
Okay.
And that's the magic behind everything we do that's tinted.
Right.
And when you increase the proportion of darker iron oxides, first of all, it's really hard to get the shade right. And then that takes over some of the actives.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're, all of a sudden your SPF starts going down. So
right.
I really am so proud of our R&D team. You've met
yes.
Trish Boland, our head of R&D. And the team really tackled that challenge and gave us that broad range.
That's incredible. What other challenges have you had in innovating mineral products?
I think moving into skincare more broadly. So again, we believe that sun care is the most important skincare. Then moving to the skincare ingredients, our team really can select active skincare ingredients that are complemented by the minerals, and maybe even the minerals help, you know, by getting those actives into the skin. So those are very, very difficult challenges, but one that our team, you know, has overcome. And of course, for maximum inclusivity, the holy grail is a clear zinc, which doesn't exist, right? And our team wanted to go after it, and the color science team can do anything, but I still discouraged them.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, this is so impossible.
Yeah.
Just be careful how you spend your time and energy.
Exactly.
Because there's so much good
it's
to
a
do.
Very elusive dream.
Yes.
But maybe it could be achieved.
We did.
But, you did?
That's one of the products That's we right. launched this year, our no-show all-mineral sunscreen. And it's a zinc active.
And that's taken off on TikTok
yes.
and social media.
Yes,
and I've
for
seen
sure.
videos of that where people start with like the right amount of sunscreen,
yes.
which is so rare that they're putting on a shot glass or a full or
okay.
two finger strips full. So they're using the right amount and getting good coverage, and
yes.
it actually doesn't show.
Exactly. Yeah, it's crazy. And I remember the meeting I went to with my colleague Alicia Merlot, and we sat with Dr. Michael Gold and demonstrated the early formulation, you know, in a lab sample.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting across at breakfast, and he was putting it on his hand and looking at it. And he just looked up at me in his, you know, senior veteran dermatologist way and said, "You win."
Oh, really? Okay, that's awesome.
And Dr. Joel Schlesinger, yeah, he went, he said it on podium. And Dr. Joel Schlesinger and his wife Nancy at,
mm-hmm.
at Lovely Skin also just said, we need to know more about this. So it's been a very exciting intro.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I've seen other makeup brands on TikTok and social media claim and sort of act like they're first to market with mineral products. Have you seen this claim?
I do. I see a lot of different claims, and I think it's important for us to stay true to our brand identity, which is
yeah.
science-backed, clinically proven skincare.
Yeah, and veteran status, like we've been around.
You've yes.
been around for a long time, so
yes.
that says a lot. But I'm just surprised because, there, you know, of course, the younger generation doesn't know what's been around and kind of goes with what's popular. So I really feel it's important to, like, shut down those brands that think that they're the first to, like, wow, we're innovating with minerals. Like, hello, we've been doing that for 25 years over here.
It's true. It's true. And at the same time, we want people to do what's good for their skin. And
yeah.
so we're not against any other sunscreen or skincare product. We really are incremental.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit more about that EnviroScreen technology. And also, I'm really interested in blue light protection.
Oh, excellent.
Because I'm in front of a screen all day long.
Same here.
Yeah.
And even the blue light glasses are difficult to fuss with, aren't they?
They are. I
yeah.
have the blue light coating, and
yeah.
but I do feel it provides a lot of relief.
It does, and yeah. I think it's important relief for all of us who are at the screen all the time. So our EnviroScreen technology it involves a technology partnership that we have. This is a company led by someone I've worked with for years across companies, and what they were able to do is design a coating that is better at caging free radicals from taking off in the skin. And I found that incredibly appealing, as did Trish and Teddy Bell, our chief business officer,
mm-hmm.
who develops our intellectual property platforms. Mm-hmm. And what we were able to do with EnviroScreen is actually incorporated into that powder brush sunscreen as a first step. And it does defend from blue light. I think we're the first ones to actually design, with our technology partner, Solescence, the test that looks at HEV attenuation. So we have quite specific proof of the percent of each of our products, the percent of HEV attenuation that you can achieve. So the iron oxides play an important role. That's another thing the R&D team is take minerals called iron oxides, which are the tint, but more important, they have therapeutic value within the light range that includes HEV, and using those three iron oxides, you can cover that full HEV spectrum.
Interesting. So you were the first company to develop a test to quantify the amount of protection you get with each step.
Yes, FDA standards.
That's great.
But analytical capability to prove that out.
I love that. That's very impressive.
Thanks.
And in terms of new products that are premiering now, so you have your Skin Barrier Pro.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
And that is a very interesting concept because it's easy to apply minerals, sometimes not so easy to remove all residue of minerals.
Correct.
How does that work?
Well, first of all, thank you for being involved in that product early and evaluating ahead of the marketing of the product and giving us that technical feedback that helped us to make sure we had the right final formulation to take to market. And I think it's important for us. It's the first time we've had a product in the cleanser category and a product in the moisturizer category. But in true Color Science fashion, they're multifunctional. The cleanser does a beautiful job of taking the minerals off and leaving the skin feeling more hydrated, not stripped or dry. Mm. The moisturizer is it has four different functions that it provides, and that, again, that multifunctional approach is not just something that goes on nice and feels good and moisturizing, but it dries down like silk. There's nothing to feel, but at the same time, your skin feels quite moisturized.
And really good travel products, I must say.
Thank you.
Because, like, when you're traveling, you want to be super efficient and, like, very fast on your routine.
Yes.
I definitely have those in my travel products.
Oh, good. Good. They are, you use them for 7 days, and it's going to change the way your skin feels and looks.
Definitely.
So they're much more than their
category. So
that's
coming, it's been released, but we're really going to hear about it more in 2024, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're literally 2 days after the press release at this point.
That's so exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah, you've had a big year. What's coming in 2024? Any predictions for consumer skincare trends?
So
everybody asks us at the end of the year. We got to look at the year in review and the coming year.
What's coming?
Trends, yeah.
So we always have an abundance in the innovation pipeline. So about 3.5 years worth. And so they can move in and out, which is why the team always kills me if I give too much detail about what's coming in the next year. But we do have some products that are still working around the eye, looking at lash performance. Mm. And then we also have a future innovation on our peptide platform. So PepUp is our current powerhouse in peptides. And so we need to build more on that as well.
I would love to see you guys get more into peptides.
Thank you.
Peptides in general are probably the next innovation that I want to see come into aesthetics, not just IV peptides, injectable peptides, but also skin, topical.
But we'd love to have your direction on it.
Yeah, I'd love to be involved. I mean, I think we have very limited amount of peptides that are currently in most of the major skincare brands right now.
It's so true.
And there's no consumer knowledge about peptides either.
Yes, just the word peptide, basically.
It sounds intimidating.
Yes.
It sounds like an amino acid from biochem class, right?
Even water can be pretty biochemical, right?
But, yes, that's true.
So I think we can help, and you do it all the time. I think educating consumers on what this all means is so important.
Yeah. Do you feel like there's been some consumer exhaustion in terms of overwhelm? Like you walk into the Sephora store and there's too much choice or there's too many influencers talking your ear off about what's good, what's not good?
We actually have some pretty direct information about that. So we survey consumers twice a year. We survey our physician partners twice a year. And then we use Google Analytics to follow what people are experiencing. And we're an omni-channel brand. So we want to meet the consumer where they're living or searching and then help them find professionals who can educate them directly. And we can help educate as well through our message media platforms. So we bring our physicians into our educational efforts quite directly. Mm. So I do think there is some exhaustion, but I think the interest is big.
Yeah.
And so as long as we can reach them, we can absolutely make sure they get the proper education.
Well, I totally agree with what you're saying. I think the consumer is hungry for knowledge, but they don't necessarily know who to trust. And so it's good to be a voice of authority. But I see Brad Pitt selling skincare now. A voice of handsomeness and authority. But I was asking myself, like, I bet you Brad Pitt can't tell me why vitamin C is good for my skin. Can he?
Maybe, I don't know. I don't want to take it away from him, but I would call you instead.
How does the consumer know which brands to trust, which, you know, influencers and authorities to trust?
Our surveys show that they are looking for their dermatologist or plastic surgeon, someone who's really understanding what their treatment goals should be,
yes,
or help them at least get to where they think they should be. And I also think that the clinical evidence is cited. Mm-hmm. So now where do they find the clinical evidence, right? Mm-hmm. They have to come to us. And so we do serve that need. We have a ton of educational content on our website, mm-hmm. but also we do skin condition profiles, and we always use our healthcare partners to do that. So now we're showcasing their knowledge and expertise and leadership in whether it's ingredient or approach to different conditions. And of course, UV protection is important to every one of those conditions. And so so we just want to make sure that they have access. Once they come into our ecosystem, we can move them around to our physician partner websites, our own websites, other expert websites like societies, medical societies. Mm-hmm. And so it is possible to invite people into real, you know, evidence-based information and help.
I think it's so important that we focus people down on specifics and basics, because I remember... I have four kids. I remember walking into Babies R Us and seeing all the different baby devices and things, and I was just like so overwhelmed, you know. And the same thing walking into Sephora. They're like, where do you start? What's good? What's not good? What is prettiest? Do you buy the prettiest packaging? And I just think that we really need to teach patients more.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole concept, too, of these brands that are sold over the counter that kind of have fairy dusted, very petite amounts of ingredients, and then, you know, they're really making big claims on their packaging. Where you guys, like, for example, peptides, you have Pep It Up is amazing. What is in that? It's not fairy dusted with peptides. It's got 10 peptides in it.
It does. We have 10 peptide complex. That's quite a meaningful percentage of the total formulation. And you've had meetings with Trish Boland, and you'll hear her say, we don't bless the tank. Everything that's in that product has an intention and a proven outcome.
I think this 2024 is going to see, we're going to see more brands from scientists, from physicians like myself. Mm-hmm. And hopefully people will know that that's a place of credibility. Like if you have a degree and you have some scientific research and you can put a bibliography to your work, then maybe that's a product that can be trusted. So I foresee... Yeah. Physician strength brands and brands that are based on science, like Color Science, to be coming hopefully to the top of the pack.
Oh, I hope so. And I think that we're designed to certainly drive in that direction. And like I know you do clinical research, so many of our physician partners do clinical research, and their voice is directly involved in the products that we develop. And then we do publish together.
Yes.
So you can actually find peer-reviewed publications with that clinical evidence by people with your caliber of authorship on there, along with Trish and our team. Dr. Eric Bernstein did a beautiful publication with us called Beyond SPF. Mm. And so at this, I think we need to give consumers a little credit too, mm-hmm. that they can recognize it when they see it, right? And then make that available.
I agree. I think they're getting smarter and smarter. I also think that the use of probiotics in skincare is going to increase, because there's so many studies that show that the bacterial biome of the skin is going to affect you, whether you're acneic or rosacea prone. How do you guys, are you going to address that? You have a probiotic product right now, right?
We do. It's definitely part of the Barrier Pro platform.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the moisturizer does have a nod to the microbiome and also some other supportive ingredients.
Yeah, I think that's so critical, and people don't realize enough that, you know, sometimes these kids with acne or women with acne are washing and stripping away the critical microbiome so aggressively. And replenishing it, fixing the skin barrier is like such an important thing we have to do.
Absolutely. We have educational settings. Alicia Merlot and Heather Goodchild teach in those. But we have practical sessions where you're looking at cases. And I say it's a common, very common occurrence that we show a case of sensitive acneic skin, worried about oiliness, that maybe really was true when they were 13 or 14 years old, yeah. but it hasn't been true for years, and now the skin is just attacked and mm-hmm. sensitive, and it's, you know, it's acneic for other reasons
yeah.
now.
It's so funny, maybe we internally set our skin identity at age 15 or 14, right?
Like, that's an interesting concept.
In our head, we come up with this identity because that's where you're developing your personal identity in your teen years, right?
It makes
sense.
You're
so self-critical, and you probably carry that criticism into your womanhood, I bet.
Certainly for women, I would guess that's
yeah,
the case.
I don't think you ever really do a reset and say I'm a fully different human than I was in my teen years. I probably need to do
Please let something be different from that.
Right? It's just like you wake up one day and you've been treating yourself with this oily skin regimen, and suddenly you're like super dry.
Exactly. Exactly.
How does menopause impact the skin? Because that, I think, is a trending topic, too. Perimenopause and menopause. What do you think?
It's huge. Certainly, personally, I've changed a lot about, you know, diet, exercise, and skincare with that focus. But I think thanks to you and other physicians, plastic surgeons and dermatologists, you know, kind of maneuvering, again, a lot of random information on social, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That, well, if you're in menopause, then you need to tackle these issues differently. But who's the person who's telling you that? And what's the content that they're going to direct you to?
Yeah.
So I think that's a big area of need that'll continue.
I feel like there's a scarcity of research on what happens to women's skin. Like, have I ever seen histology of pre, peri, and postmenopausal skin, like, really looked at with receptor studies and looking at the estrogens and right. do we need an estrogen-based cream? So many interesting things that we should, like, innovate a little bit for ourselves and for our industry.
For sure. And I think, you know, multi-specialty discussions on that front as well. So,
yeah.
you know, it's healthcare professionals, it's, you know, people who are doing nutraceuticals or nutritional supplement research.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it really, it's just beginning, I believe, from a wellness perspective.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the number of women doing research in aesthetics? In skincare and dermatology in general? I know that I personally perceive a big disparity that most of our research has been created by men.
In all of medicine.
In all of medicine.
Yes.
Yeah,
just
actually.
As true in neurology and in oncology.
Yes.
And I think that when we see multidisciplinary work, not just, you know, age diversity, but male-female diversity, it brings such a wealth of, but it really is a leap in understanding when we can share those concepts.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed being invited to a multidisciplinary meeting years ago on scarring alopecias. Sounds like a random orientation, but each of the three specialists or specialties, they brought their own window into that world. But when they came together, so much enlightenment was happening, and you saw the sharing of, you know, subcommittees forming and all of that. It was really encouraging.
That would be awesome to do, where we bring maybe some OB/GYN or reproductive people, hormonal specialists,
yes.
and then kind of do a think tank.
Yes.
Skin. I even think that innovation needs to happen where we're creating products for different ethnic skins.
Yes.
Like, I can't look at an older Caucasian woman, dry, thin-skinned, and call that skin the same as Asian skin or the same as thicker, more sebaceous African-American skin.
Absolutely.
I really think that, like, we're applying the same bottle to all three skins and expecting an outcome, but, like, the next generation of how we think about skin, and even, I think, for fillers, is going to change. Like, right now, I'm using one filler for thin skin white lady, and same for African-American beautiful thick skin flush lady, you know, like, it's going to be different in the future.
Do you see a big difference between men and women's skin?
Huge. Unfairly. Unfairly so. These men have the best skin because
yeah.
they dermaplane every morning with their shaving, which creates like a really nice skin resurfacing effect daily. Imagine if we dermaplane daily on our faces.
Yeah.
How crazy. They get nice thickness and circulation benefits, and of course they have thicker skin, more sebaceous glands, you
yeah.
know, more padding. It just translates to, like, handsomely rugged as they age. Versus women don't look great when they get rugged. And wrinkly.
Slightly unfair. But right? I have a friend, dermatologist Jody Comstock, that used to say that, you know, if you want your skin to weather like a man's, you know, shave every day.
Yeah, well, now I do see influencers shaving every day, dermaplaning themselves at home. And we do dermaplaning, of course, but people come in, you know, once a month or whatever for that. But I have seen people doing it on the daily, which I don't know how good that is.
I was just going to say, how do you feel about that? Because they're using over-the-counter, you know, two blade razors. And where's the cleaning protocols
and nicks and inflammatory issues. Yeah. Men have the benefit of all these nice follicles on their skin surface.
Right.
Okay, so that's interesting too. We started doing follicular hair stem cell harvesting.
Oh, you are? Yes, I've seen that.
Yes, so we can harvest the stem cells, cryopreserve them, and then the day is coming in the near future where we'll be able to take your stem cells and make your very own exosomes.
Fascinating.
Your own skin, you know, serums and your own injectables. And so how cool that we can do that now.
Yes, and I think personalized medicine is on the rise, and it's not slowing down.
Exactly. Yeah. And for men to have all those hair follicles within that cheek skin when they're shaving, I bet that is a source of regenerative, like, good growth factors, much more so than what women have.
Interesting.
Yeah, so interesting. Yeah. Well, how do you think the future of stem cells or even AI is going to impact your skin assessments?
I think for AI impact, we will turn to you. I know that you're a leading expert in that right now. I understand you gave a course on that at Aesthetics Next, and really talking about how to interact with AI as a concept in medical practice.
And within marketing of the practice, within actually skin assessments, of course, we have things like Vizia that scan the skin and give us a really pretty decent assessment. But I think that, you know, that ability to take a photo and scan the skin and really analyze dark spots, red spots, brown spots, going to give us beautiful regimens for future and for tracking improvements, actually.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And I think, and with you always there to interpret, right? Just like astrology, we need an interpreter.
Yes. Yeah. You need someone to give you some basis for what to do next.
Yeah.
Clinician always is important.
Yes.
Well,
so stem cells and exosomes, we'll see. I'm seeing a lot there. The courses I've attended, it seems like it's still quite an early field. And so it gives me great comfort that we work so closely with our physician partners as those kinds of innovations come forward, because I think they need a critical eye.
I definitely agree. I see so many exosomes on the market making very big claims that are not necessarily scientifically supported. And I think that itself is leading to some consumer confusion. And right now we are the consumers, the people in aesthetics, the plastic surgeons, the derms, the nurses, the practitioners. So we're the consumer. We're not asking all the good questions. We're just kind of believing the tagline. And so I'm a big fan of really breaking that down into, like, okay, where are these products derived? Am I getting exosomes from a plant? Because I'm not a plant. I don't think my cells are going to respond to that. Or
do you remember the apple stem cells?
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Are they still on the market?
I haven't seen them in a long, long time, but we do use botanical products in our skincare, but I thought that apple stem cells was a little bit of a leap.
I know, right? But I don't think it phased a single consumer. In their mind, the impression for organic and nature-based, and it's there. Do you think that's going to enter into Color Science's armamentarium of botanical, more organic?
We do pay attention to it. But what we do internally, and I think our approach is a little bit different with input of experts like yourself, is to actually identify the need, but then match the need to the biochemical pathways associated with the skin concern. And then let's look for, again, Trish has worked for years with a closely held group of ingredient manufacturers that back their ingredient work with, you know, bench science, clinical trial, outcome, safety assessments. And then we further do development, study, and safety assessments. And so for us, I think that's the lineage that we're looking to align is more than, you know, organic or botanical as a category, because there aren't really good regulatory categories like that, with one exception. And so I think we'll keep following our path. We care about the source of the ingredient, if it is a botanical or some other form of plant extract, and we do have plenty of those in our products. But Trish works with a very closely held group of ingredient manufacturers. They know what we will and won't include in our products. She knows what they will and won't bring to her. Mm-hmm. Her standard is that there are bench science studies, clinical studies on safety and on efficacy, and a little bit of histology or other support work to show what's happening. And that's our approach, I think, for the near future. Less about category, because we're not a trend or a fashion brand, and so, you know, we're not a green brand.
Yeah.
We're not avoiding being a green brand either.
Right.
We pay attention to sustainability just like anybody else. But it's really that science, clinical evidence, and then elegance. So the best technology in the world, if they don't want to use it every single day, it's not the answer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Are there ingredients you're excited about that are like new and trending?
There are some. And I think some of them are in the Barrier Pro line that we're just launching now. Our peptides, as we mentioned earlier, very powerful, very potent. There's more to do in peptides. And then our antioxidants are a bit higher grade than the typical seasonies. And I see us continuing in that direction as well.
More supercharged antioxidants.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be impressive. Well, you've become a big leader in aesthetics and in your field.
Thank you.
How has that struggle been, like leadership role as a CEO of a company, having to have the vision to run the company? And like you said, you're innovating 3 years ahead in your mind.
That's interesting. So as I mentioned, the first time I came to dermatology, it was to join as the CEO of Skin Medica.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous team there. Some of whom came over to Color Science when we spun it out. So we had acquired Color Science, had it a year, and Allergan came to buy Skin Medica.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wasn't ready to give it up, but if you're going to be acquired by Allergan. They're a lovely company.
Yes.
And the fit was obvious. So with the investors, which I'm one, agreed to that if we could keep Color Science aside.
Mm-hmm.
So a bunch of us came over to Color Science. I think our challenges have been in formulating with minerals, getting even the color from minerals, being so stringent on ingredients we will and won't use. But in terms of leadership, I think we know who we are as a brand. The leadership team is half male, half female. The workforce is majority female. We have very complementary backgrounds and skill sets, and we barter them openly, you know, whatever's best for the person who's going to be using our products. So I think getting the identity, knowing, having a reason for being that's clear has been the most important of all, and I don't think the CEO can walk in and dictate that.
Mm-hmm.
It really has to be a common belief system among the leaders in the company.
That's a passion for mineral excellence.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that. I think that you have taught us so much about the importance of minerals and staying true to your brand, and like that is your core identity.
Yes.
I'm sure that won't change. So any advice for up-and-coming entrepreneurs who want to start their own skincare brand or become a CEO of a skincare company?
Well, there are a lot of ways to be affiliated with skincare. And we see in our physician partnerships, in our medical spa partnerships, estheticians are becoming more savvy in clinical research and development of products. We've seen estheticians start practices and bring in the physicians, which is a little upside down from 10 years ago.
Depending on the state you're
in. That's right. Yeah. That's right. And so I think there are some women leaders in medical spa to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are many exciting ways to be involved in skin health, as a clinician, as a business person, as a brand builder. But I will say this, it's got to be the truth. I think gone are the days that consumers are happy to be shouted at like they're the rain.
Mm-hmm.
and nobody owns the consumer. Those moments
That's
are
right.
gone as well.
They're very discerning, and they do their research now. And Everyone, I think, on social has a sense for who rings true and who is just a shyster, you know.
More than ever, more than ever. And I think as you build your own brand, whether it's personally as a business leader or the skincare brand that you're going to build, be one of the brands that cares a lot more. It's just really important.
Well, it's been such a pleasure interviewing you.
Thank you.
Are you on social media yourself?
I'm on Instagram, Color Science CEO.
Okay.
And I follow you. I follow all of our physician partners, and I don't post as much as I should, but anybody who is on social, I will follow you, and I will comment on what you post and enjoy every minute of it.
Be sure to tag you. You guys need to check out Color Science CEO, Mary Fisher, and the brand at Color Science. And we hope to have you back in the office sometime soon.
I
can't wait
it.
To come visit you and check out where you guys are in your CEO corporate headquarters.
Thank you. Thank you. And I need to come back here with an appointment so I can get treated by you.
Yeah, that would be a pleasure. That would be amazing. Well, that's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DRKAY, doing amazing things with people's faces. And our website is beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find my amazing greens powder and
yes.
collagen powder. We're definitely going to get you some to try.
Thank you.
I believe in internal radiance. You got to look good from within. And I've learned so much from you today. What a role model. You guys check out Mary Fisher, CEO of Color Science. That's it for now. Stay beautiful.